In today's gospel, Christ teaches that we must be a light for the world. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Up until the year 2022, those of you who got the Boston Globe on weekends or some other papers too, remember there was a little print magazine in it called Parade Magazine. 8 or 10 pages, recipes, style, you know, fashion things, little human interest type thing. It's still published online, but it's not in the papers anymore. But for many, many years, one of the features of that Parade magazine was a question and answer column entitled Ask Marilyn. Marilyn von Savant was the author. When she was 10 years old, her IQ registered at 228, which at the time was considered to be the highest IQ ever taken for a 10-year-old. Anyway, she was a very bright woman. Asked many interesting questions, gave many interesting answers. And one time she was asked this question: what did she think was the most powerful idea there was? What was the most powerful idea of all? And she said, the most powerful idea is truth. Truth. The reason, she said, is this: truth does not depend on what you know or what you believe or what you understand. Truth exists even if you don't know it, or if you don't like it, if you don't feel comfortable with it. The truth still is there. Reality, facts, those exist independent of what we would want or what we'd like, what we prefer. She said, truth is the most powerful reality of all. I wonder today in our society, how many people think about truth anymore? I mean, is there such a thing as truth? Or is there your truth and my truth and someone else's truth, even if they're totally different? Is there really truth? Remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate? Pilate says to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I have come to testify to the truth." Pilate says, "What's truth?" So I wonder today whether we believe in truth anymore, or just my truth, or your truth. We have, you know, in our world today, a lot of people who make a living spinning the truth. They're hired by politicians, they're hired by corporations, they're hired by advertising companies to make everything look as good as it can. Take facts, but then emphasize this more than anything else, or twist this a little bit, look at it this way, look at it that way. So by the time you're done, do you really have anything left anymore of the truth? Spin doctors. I share that with you today, that idea, or that thought with you today, because in the second reading today, St. Paul tells us that he came to testify to the basic fact of all. No spin. He tried to explain it, but a basic fact. He said, look, this is what it is. I've come to you Corinthians who are all caught up in your philosophy and your highfalutin poetry and rhetoric and all that. I come to you with the basic truth. Jesus Christ crucified. The basic fact is this. Jesus died for our sins and was raised up for our glorification. That's the basic fact. No varnish, no making it easy to understand or less disturbing to you. In fact, he said someplace else in one of his letters that he knew that what he was preaching was a scandal to the Jewish people. How could a Messiah be crucified? It was a scandal to them. They couldn't believe that. And it seems as an absurdity to the Greeks in their highfalutin philosophy, but that's what he preached. No spin, the basic fact. Jesus Christ crucified and risen. I think there's a challenge in that for you and me. Because today, in the gospel, Christ says to us, you must be salt for the earth and light for the world. You, us, his disciples, salt and light. Salt gives flavor. Salt preserves. We have to preserve his truth. Light drives away darkness and doubt. We have to take his truth and spread it. Let it shine where it's dark. We can't be spin masters of religion or spin masters of discipleship. The basic truth about Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be, light and salt. Now, when I think, when we look at Jesus and what he brings us, the truth he brings us, it can be summarized in three statements. Not that we can't explain it more deeply, but three simple statements summarize everything. First, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And he put us as stewards of his creation. Secondly, God so loved the world that he sent his only son to redeem us when we had fallen into sin. Thirdly, because God created everything and gave us stewardship over it, because he has redeemed us from our sins, thirdly then, we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. No spin. Those three things, the foundation of everything. And we're supposed to witness to that. Be salt and light for that. So how do we do that, I wonder? For example, God created everything and we're now stewards of his creation. How do you and I care for the creation of God? You know, Pope Francis wrote a beautiful encyclical letter on the ecological matters, how we're supposed to care for the creation of God. And Pope Leo has repeated that many times. So how do you care for the world, the created world? Do we take any responsibility for it? You know, every once in a while I feel guilty about whether or not I'm really taking care of God's creation. So I said, maybe I have to do some little things, you know. So one of the little things I was going to do was I was going to start buying my milk in cardboard cartons rather than plastic. You know that our world is suffocating in plastic? Only 9% of plastic things we buy are recycled. 9%, only 9%. And the reason for that is that plastic is very difficult to recycle for all kinds of different reasons. Ends up in landfills, ends up being incinerated, ends up in our oceans. I said, well, you know, I'm gonna buy cardboard rather than plastic. Guess what? Did you ever go to the supermarket? Try to buy a cardboard half gallon of milk? Anybody know where you can do that anymore? You can't do it. Used to be when you went to the checkout counter, they'd ask you, paper or plastic? You find that anymore, any place? Except maybe Whole Foods. we're forced to use plastic. And we're told that one-time use plastics is polluting the world. What do we do about that? Can't buy cardboard anymore. How do we take care of the world? Secondly, what do we do about the fact that God sent Jesus to us to redeem us, that he is God's truth? I was thinking the other day, I wonder how many podcasters there are in the United States. Everybody's got a podcast. I'll give you mine if you want, you know. It's very cheap, very cheap. But how many podcasters are there, all of them with some advice to give us about something? How to read the world, how to read life, what's important? What do they call themselves now? Influencers. So-and-so is an influencer. What's that mean? Trying to influence who? You. Me. Well, there's nothing wrong with any of that. They might have some wonderful ideas, some good things we can learn from. But the thing for us to remember is this. Every influencer, every podcaster for us has to be measured by Jesus Christ. Everything they teach us, everything they want us to believe, we have to measure by Jesus Christ. If there's anything that they teach us that's contrary to what Jesus teaches us or shows us, we have to reject that. And we have to do that in the name of light and salt. That's who we're supposed to be. Finally, we love the Lord with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength, and our neighbor is ourself, we're told. In thanksgiving for God's creation and God's recreation in Jesus. So we might ask ourselves today, how do we do that? Love God with our whole heart. And do we really love our neighbor as ourself? Remember, when we say love our neighbor, that doesn't mean we like our neighbor. I might dislike you, but if I found you in trouble and I could help you, I need to help you. That's what love is. Not that I like you, but I love you and care for you as best I can. What does the prophet Isaiah say in the first reading today? Share your bread with the hungry. Clothe the naked. Reach out and try to save the oppressed. How do we do that? I mean, as we sit here this morning, can each of us say that we really do share our bread with the hungry, those truly hungry? We say, for example, that's the government's job. Well, up to a point, yes. But it's my job and your job. Can we say that we do it in trying to be light and salt for the earth? Those three things. Let me conclude with a little true story. Maybe emphasizes what I'm trying to say. There was a man in a parish who taught the confirmation program for his parish. And every year, at the beginning of the program, he would say to the kids, you see this bowl? He had like a big fish bowl filled with marbles. And he'd say to them, take a piece of paper and pencil and tell me, how many marbles do you think are in this bowl? So they'd all write down, they'd look and they'd write down what they thought and give it to him. Then he'd say, now take another piece of paper and write down for me your favorite song. And he'd write down their favorite song. He'd collect them and he'd put a list together of their favorite songs. Then he'd say to them, all right, now let's take a look and see who came closest to the number of marbles. There are actually 236 marbles in this bowl. So he'd go through the papers and somebody would be closest, whatever it was. Then he'd say, now, these are the 15, 20 songs you said were your favorite songs. Which of these is the best song? They'd say, well, what do you mean, which is the best song? I like that song, but Billy likes that song, and Joni likes that song, and so my favorite song isn't the same as their favorite song, but that's the way it is. He'd say, okay, so tell me, which of those two situations best describes what it means to be a believer? The fishbowl with the marbles with a list of your favorite songs. Which is the best description of what it means to be a believer? And almost universally, they'd say, well, it's like the list of songs. You have your best song, you know, and you say, no, you're wrong. See, your best song is truly arbitrary. It's, you know, yeah, it's true. Some of you like A, some of you like B, some of you like C. But our faith is more like the marbles in the fishbowl. That's given to us. We don't add or subtract from it. We don't say, you know, when Jesus says, forgive 70 times, seven times, I don't like that, I'm going to reject that. Can't do that. The truth of the Lord is given to us. We must be light and salt about it. And the truth is not something that can be spun or argued away or talked away. The truth of Christ is the truth of Christ. Are we really salt and light when it comes to his truth? May God bless you.